As complex as the state budget is on the micro level, at the macro level, there are only three elements in play.
We cut the budget in a significant way to keep a bigger PFD. We somehow find new revenues, which I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think is on the table in a big way this session. Or we either overdraw from the earnings of the permanent fund, or we take our one last savings account, which we have shown you is down to a very sort of perilous $2 billion mark. And, you know, those are basically our choices. They're all difficult choices.
That's Speaker of the House Bryce Edgman of Dillingham at a town hall meeting Saturday in Soldotna with Kenai Representative Gary Knopp, Representative Neil Foster of Nome, and Representative Louise Stutes of Kodiak. The legislators gave an overview of the state's financial situation and discussed the options and challenges they face in crafting next year's state budget. Oil and gas revenue no longer pays for 90% of Alaska's budget. It's now more like one-third of the budget, with earnings from the Alaska Permanent Fund and draws from the state savings account now covering about two-thirds of state costs. One of the problems is that the state savings account, the constitutional budget reserve, is dwindling. Here's Foster.
We are almost out of savings. We need, just like any of us have a checking account, and you need to have a little bit of money left in your checking account so that you can pay your mortgage or your gas or repairs on your vehicle, the state needs to have a little bit of money left in its checking account. That number, that magic number, is about $1 billion. We're down to about $2 billion right now.
The state is sitting on a much larger pile of money, about $66 billion, which is the Alaska Permanent Fund. Drawing from that account has been controversial, as some Alaskans think it should only be used to pay out dividends. The legislature has been using a percent of fund earnings since 2018, but Foster cautions that drawing too much will affect the future of that fund.
You don't want to have the fund earning 7%, but then take 10%, because now you're just going to eventually deplete that fund. And so again, right now the rule that's been established is the first 3 years, technically it was 5.25%, and then after that it'll be 5%.
Cutting the budget has been the strategy for the past several years. Since fiscal year 2013, when oil prices crashed, the state budget has been cut by about 45%. Governor Mike Dunleavy cut about $205 million through vetoes in the current year budget, on top of the nearly $150 million cut by the legislature. But Dunleavy then had to request $262 million in additional funding from the legislature earlier this month, because it turns out some of those cuts ran afoul of federal requirements, like for Medicaid. Additional money is also needed for an expensive firefighting season, repairs to ferries, and other costs. Edgman says there isn't much more blood to get from that stone.
We can't cut education too much without facing court challenges that would require us to basically put the money back in. We can't go against the Constitution. Department of Corrections, what do? We let people, criminals out on the street? We can't do that. University of Alaska, we need to continue to grow the state in some way. Public safety, we need more troopers. We need more presence in our communities. Capital budget, way too small there. That should be bigger. There are other people who would tell you that you know, it's not a spending problem as much as it might be a revenue problem.
So what about revenue? There are two proposals up for debate this session, a $30 head tax to support education and doubling the motor fuels tax. At most, they'd raise about $43 million. Alaska is the only state in the U.S. that does not have a broad-based tax. And Knopp says no legislators are currently proposing to change that fact.
To make a substantial difference, you'd have to implement a statewide sales tax, a statewide income tax, change entire corporate tax structure, and about anything else you could see. Many of you aren't aware that only a third of our entire population is gainfully employed, one third. And they're not all the big high-paying jobs that people would like to think they are. And so that is the challenge of the revenue measures.
There is, of course, a fourth element to consider, how much to pay out in dividends. Governor Dunleavy last week proposed paying an additional $1,300 on top of the $1,600 dividend Alaskans received last fall. The governor wants to see dividends continue to be calculated off permanent fund earnings, Rather than splitting earnings between dividends and supporting state services, the governor's proposal would add about $816 million to the current year budget, which already has become larger than the previous year's budget. The representatives didn't give a dividend amount that they would support, but Knopp indicated he was not in favor of the governor's approach, as it would further deplete state savings.
Can we take some of that savings to pay out larger permanent fund dividends, you know, and that's a point of contention for us who are looking for stable fiscal solution. Yeah, we could this year, but we sure couldn't do it next year, you know, and so we're very reluctant to boost up a permanent fund dividend that we can't sustain.
What will the balance be? Stay tuned to find out. The legislature will remain in session until May 20th. In Kenai, I'm Jenny Nyman.